Fempreneurs, get ready to have some fun today. We are here with Leslie Nicole of Just One Can. Just One, fill in the blank, Can is a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing more joy in the world. We have a special guest today, and she has a very special mission. It's called Just One Can Org. And I'm going to let her tell you what that is all about. So listen carefully because people around the world, kids especially, are going to be able to listen to this and find out that there is someone special who is providing the help that they need. So welcome, Leslie Nicole.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, lovely Odiva. It is so thrilling to be here with you today. I truly appreciate the opportunity to share about what we're doing and the mission that we're on, and to kind of bring some more awareness to a really incredible, increasing benefit and also potential crisis that we have going on. So at Just One Can, we help parents and actually any adult who guides children by teaching effective communication and conflict resolution skills so that parents and adults who guide them, create a safe space so that kids feel that they can come to them with anything that may be going on inside them. And by doing that, we show them how to create a safe space and how to have skill sets and how to use the language and the modeling and the structures so that the kids do feel like they are actually seen, heard, and what they say matters. Because to me, every person that I meet, that's just the purpose of my life, is to just wake up with a smile and greet everyone I meet, with compassion and kindness and thoughtfulness and caring. And even, a smile can make the difference. And I feel that when we engage with people like that, even if they're total strangers or a kid in the grocery store standing in line with their mom, right, to sit there and connect with them so that they know that they were seen. And if they ask you something, that they were heard. And when you engage them back with a smile and go, "Oh my gosh, yes, look at that little teddy bear," then they're all like, "Oh." And what I said mattered because this adult spoke to me. And when you see that light up on someone, on a child's face, it's priceless. It's absolutely priceless. And you
Yes,
also
but
know
I
that.
just want to take a breath into that because everyone wants to be seen and heard and know that they matter.
Absolutely.
And this is like part of my mission as a visibility coach to get people over the hurdles that they have with visibility and really understand that what they have to say is matters so much. And I realize that a lot of the struggle that they have comes from childhood. Not being
Absolutely.
heard, not being seen. Even years before, other generations told children, you are not to be seen and heard. And that stuck with a lot of us into our adulthood. So this is a beautiful mission that you have.
Thank you. Thank you. And I, applaud you as well to bring that opportunity to visibility to other things, organizations like ours and all the other organizations and people and businesses and service providers, to give them an opportunity to be seen and to be heard and get that reciprocity going. So and the thing about it is that you're exactly right. It does start in childhood. And not to get too scientific about it, but from birth to seven, we're in theta brain state, where that means that we are just
Data
in
waves.
the flow and we're just turning into a sponge and we're just absorbing. So the way that I explain it to kids or to participants is that I'm like, You know, when you see the kid on the, the 25 cent horse in front of the grocery store, and he's just going to town like this, right? Yeehaw, and come on, guys. And he's talking on to them because of theta. They are conscious, but they're also unconscious, and they actually believe that they're on a horse. Like to them, their imagination, that they're actually on a horse. They're going through the fields, and the all this stuff is going by them, and things like that. So that helps. And then after that, so any survival mechanisms that they did to manage that, then they carry them throughout the rest of their life. So you're right. So those things that happen, and then after theta, there's other coping mechanisms that we do. And so at Just One Can, everyone says, "Well, what age do you start?" And I'm like, "Birth." And when do you stop? And I'm like, "Never." Because like you said, you made a very big point. All of us want to be seen, heard, and feel like what we say matters, and that we matter, just to be existing, that we matter. Whatever our station in life, whatever our purpose in life, whatever we're doing, we want to feel that. And there's an actual way to do that. And there's a way to foster it and to create it if you haven't, and to avoid the pitfalls of damaging it. And then the good hope is that even if there has been some, mental, I call it mental fitness, right? Because you go to the gym and you work out and you don't expect to, lift 250 pounds, after day one, when you can only lift 10. Okay. So the heavy lifting comes later. So if there have been some challenges, or, any parents or adults who guide children, like foster parents, organizations that are, at-risk kids, after-school programs, things like that. I also go in and train those organizations so that when they are with that time with that child, that they're able to foster. And then I also work with the parents of the kids that are bringing it to those organizations so that everyone's on the same page and the child's getting the same messaging. So
Oh,
that,
that's
yeah.
beautiful. That is beautiful. Wow, can we just clone you and put one of you in every city so that everybody gets heard and the needs are being met? This is so fantastic. And I want to say to the ladies listening or whoever's listening, as an entrepreneur, the key to your success is part of being open and being childlike and believing and seeing that the dreams that you are working toward and the things that you hope to achieve are possible. And it's so amazing, and I can totally relate because it's happened to me as well, that we start out as kids, and like you said, the kid on that horse, he really believes he's on a real live horse going through the meadow or going through the wild, wild west. And then parents come along and say, "You're making too much noise. You're disturbing the neighbors. There's all this society as a whole says, don't. And next thing you know, you're an adult and you don't have that imagination. You don't have that visualization capacity because it's all been shut down and you need to reopen it. So I hope parents listening to this say, don't shut them down. How do
Yeah.
you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely. And here's, I have lots of gems, of course, for having done this for over 25 years. Is the one of the key takeaways that someone can take from our time together is say, and this is not just for your children, but especially because they hear no like 240 times more than they ever hear the word yes
Guilty.
or permission. So to change the language, here's your tip. Here's your little gem. Tell them what you do want them to do rather than what you don't want them to do. So I'll give you an example. You're walking down the sidewalk, there's a puddle, they have their new Sunday shoes on or something. And instead of saying, "Don't jump in the puddle, don't step in the puddle," what do most children do when you say that?
Job.
Jump. The younger they are, the more they do it because they don't hear don't. And most parents don't understand that, and adults don't understand that. They actually don't really hear the word don't. They don't process it as in don't do that. So if, but it also causes then there's a negative reaction because they did it. And so it's to say, "Hey, look, there's a puddle up ahead. Let's walk around it. Tell
Let's.
them what you do want them to do. So then that way you don't have to say no to them. You don't have to get angry at them. You don't have to sit there and go, why did you do that? I told you not to do that. Right. So that's just all. Yeah. It's really,
Okay.
really important.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a huge gem and you can use it everywhere. And it also a little tip, it works with adults. It works with everybody. It works
Yes.
with humans.
That's what's just hit me because as our parents get older, they kind of revert to that childhood stage. And those of you that are caregivers can relate to what I'm talking about. And then you're still trying to say, don't. And why aren't they listening?
Yeah, it's a
Let's
huge,
do this
huge, huge
instead.
ahas. Yeah, huge ahas.
Okay, that is phenomenal.
And
So
the
I
sooner that you turn it around and keep building and then now doing it that way, you will see a child's demeanor. They'll go from like this, where they're timid and scared and they're not sure, to going, they stand up, their face is brighter, their eyes are lighter. It's really incredible to watch a transformation like that. It's a rediscovering. Because like you said, it's all in us. I mean, I'm the biggest kid on the planet. I am still in my childlike wonder. You can see me being a goofy anytime, trust me.
So this is how we empower our kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so great. Wow.
Because they're exploring.
Yeah.
Right. So when they go into that refrigerator and they pull out the eggs and they dump them on the floor and they take that box of cereal and they pour it the whole thing out, they're just exploring. And it's what's more important, the box of cereal, the spilt milk, or your child's confidence and self-esteem and
Wow.
self-worth and self-love.
Hey. So, Leslie, this is a beautiful mission that you are working on, helping parents to empower their own children. Tell us, how did you get started on this journey?
Well, that's a great question, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share this story. I'm also known as Mama Bear. And I'll get to that in a second. But when I realized that my purpose in life was to be joyful and to bring joy, even more joy into the world, it touched something. Like I get goosebumps every time I think about it or I talk about it, because it's so me, it's so my truth, right? And so because of that, the way I found that out is that, you know, I was adopted at birth by amazing, beautiful, loving parents, they were very caring and inclusive, and they had the very best of intentions. And yet, even with all that love, I still had this primary question of what is wrong with me? Like, I just didn't feel like I ever did anything right enough, good enough. And so then when I had children, I vowed to do it differently, you know, because first I set out to figure out that riddle and I solved that riddle. And so then when I had my children of my own, I decided that I wanted to teach them the same characters, values, and morals, but I wanted to go about it a different way without punishment, lecture, threatening. Right. I wanted it to be with respect and mutual respect. And that's one of the things that I didn't see in the world is that, you know, parents are one thing and child are like sub class citizens. You know, it's like I'm this and you're that. And it's like, it's a human being. It's a small human being and needing much guidance. Right. So I went on this journey. And it was frustrating at times. It was scary at times, but I was absolutely relentless, you know, in my pursuit, because I just knew that, again, what I said earlier is that there was nothing more important than for every person that's ever in my countenance, and especially my children, was that they were going to be seen, heard, and know truly know that they were loved unconditionally. And so my mama bear characteristic is like unstoppable and committed to these outcomes. And so I have raised 5 children and I have fostered 16 so far. So, and I
fostered kids. Yes. And 5 beautiful children.
Yeah. And the oldest is 34. About to be 35. So I've been at this a little while. And I just was committed to that. And so that's where my mama bear, because I have so many kids all over the world now, actually. But you know, I was determined to do that. And so then I've been doing this parenting, educator, coaching, training and stuff since early 90s. And the thing was, I did all this from home, homeschooling my children while working full time and supporting the family, because I was doing this on my own. And so when COVID hit, I was all like, oh, I did this long time ago, before you were even supposed to be, you know, working remotely and virtually and things like that. So I have lots of insights on how to build your empire and honor your children and respect your position while maintaining peace and harmony and joy in your home.
Oh, I still am going for the idea of just cloning you. Well, this is your work. Your work is to kind of clone yourself in the sense that you give parents the tools and the understanding and the awareness to do this with their own kids. As an English teacher, I have worked in the school system. I worked as an elementary teacher one time. It was in Korea, so it was different, different culture, different ways of working with kids. And I saw how the kids, all they needed was a little bit of confidence. And sometimes just giving them tasks to do and saying, you do this creatively on your own, they just light up, as you say, they thrive in that. And they're so much more capable than many of us give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's little things and it's small things. And to just share another, the actual pivotal point of when the work that I'm doing now came into being is that I was trying to do, I mean, I went to every parent workshop, book, program, course that you could ever imagine, every flyer I grabbed, I went, I read, I scoured the books and libraries. And they just didn't have all the components. So what I ended up doing was creating my own. But what facilitated me being that committed to figuring it out was because I would want to be different, but then I would find myself parenting like my parent. And I just was like, you know, I would still revert until one time where my oldest son, he did something I don't even remember now, obviously something very minor. And I did what my mom did. She was a yeller and I couldn't stand being a yeller, but I'd still find myself at times yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the look on my son's face that his soul, his spirit had been crushed. Like the look on his face, I recognized that look from when I was a kid. Right there, side of the car in the front lawn, I dropped to my knees. I mean, I'm starting to well up again now, and grabbed him into my arms. I was just like, baby mama, sorry. And I promise you, and I vow to you that I will do better, and I'm not ever going to do that again. And I have never raised my voice again, ever.
That is courageous. And there's no judgment here. You know, being the perfect parent does not exist.
Yeah.
It does not exist.
Nope.
But being able to recognize that when we're kind of cruising on autopilot, when the emotions are there and we just, like, as you say, revert to what our parents did.
Yep.
Wow.
And but here's a golden gem. Here's a golden gem with that. Kids are repetitive.
Mm.
So this is where the gift and opportunity lies, so that if you do mess up and then saying, oh, I'm going to handle this really well, and then you don't, guess what? They're going to mess up again. And you are, as the parent or the adult that's guiding this child, have an opportunity to do it better again, because they're going to keep doing it until you get it right and they get it right. So you can give yourself a break and go, I got another chance at this.
Give yourself a break, parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. And tell me, well, you can keep going, but tell me a bit about your entrepreneurship journey. Like, how did you develop this organization and programs for kids? How did this all come about?
Well, that's an awesome opportunity to share a little bit about that. I grew up in an entrepreneurial house, as well as a traditional career, retire from the company after 25 years of service environment. My mom was the entrepreneur. My dad was the one who had the corporate job and retired after 33 years. Mm-hmm. And my mom started the entrepreneurial when I was 6 years old. And it was flipping real estate, buying distressed properties and rehabbing them and then selling them or keeping them as rental properties. And she kept me at her side the entire time. Like, I went with her everywhere. I went with her to look at properties. I went with her. She would take me out of school to have me sit in on the closing table at the bank negotiations, going to the bank runs, going to deposits, paying utilities, the whole bit. The whole time, all the way up, she had me. I mean, I remember sitting on the floor and she paid me, right? I had a little ledger, you know, and she would pay me and I would help, you know, put in the entries and things like that. And so I learned so much and I didn't know I was learning. Like, it wasn't like she was sitting here, we're going to learn about this. She just exposed me to it. Mm-hmm. And so when I, you know, went off to college and got my first corporate job, I was in there and, you know, entry level, of course, right? And then I could see all these things that were inefficient and that could be improved, but I had no rank. I had no, you know, authority or whatever to do it. And it was very frustrating because I was like, I want to help and I want to make it better and easier and more enjoyable, you know, place to work and more profitable. And so I wasn't able to do that. So then that's when I, you know, started really the launch of starting my own business. And then through the course of working with other parents and dealing with other organizations and working with the PTA and saying, you know, what is this that you're doing and how is it you're doing it? And they're like, can you show us? Can you teach us some of these things? And so I was like, yeah, sure. I'm happy to teach you guys. No problem. Like, okay. And so, you know, Thursday nights in my living room, you know, well, what do I do if they do this? And I'm like, well, you could do this. And this is how you can set up a better structure so that you even avoid that. Right. And that's the best thing is prevention, right? Is to have the tools and the knowledge and the skill set that you can go to that toolbox, which I call a treasure chest. And you go to that treasure chest and that there's treasures in here. And what type of treasure, you know, am I looking for today? And you can use it with your children as well, within your place of work, business, home, whatever. You can have, oh, I think we need, you know, someone's upset or angry. Ooh, what kind of treasure box item do we need to go find? You seem really upset. You seem very angry. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge what you see. Acknowledge that they're upset, they're sad, they're distressed, they're angry. Acknowledge it. Don't engage it. Don't fight fire with fire, right? You want to mirror and model. So when the kid comes at you, just another tidbit, kid comes at you and he's all like, I am not going to my room and there's no way you're going to make me go to my room. And they're screaming at you. Sweetheart, you are really upset. And mommy sees that. And I acknowledge that you're really upset. And I will be happy to talk about that upset when your voice can sound like mine.
Mm.
You're ready, willing, and able, but you have conditions. Those are boundaries. And while you're modeling the boundaries, they're learning about boundaries.
I love that. And I love the fact that you talked about separating the acknowledging from the engaging in the same year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
So
what
that's.
we actively do. We just engage on
It's called
autopilot.
reacting versus, you know, responding. Responding is that you are being responsible. That's what respond is, to be responding, responsible for your behavior. Reaction is you're just knee jerk. It's just off the cuff without any forethought of consideration of what is the best next step course of action.
And you got a lot of training with five kids. Tell me their ages or something about these beautiful kids.
Oh my gosh. Well, they're all about to shift because they're all within months of each other. So it's currently 34, 26, 25. Oh no, sorry. I did it right.
Okay.
34, 33, 26, 25, 23. And then all this, the fosters are all different ages. The youngest is now 19, and the oldest is 27. So, and they live like in, you know, the United States. They live in Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, Spain, and Martinique. I said, some of you guys need to go to Australia so I can visit you there. I haven't been there since I was like 6 years old, 5 years old.
That is beautiful. This is amazing.
And they're all different. They're all completely different individuals, and the way that you interact with them is it's so dynamic, how it is not cookie cutter. Principles are approaches. What's where it gets creative.
Okay, so this is really, like you said, the approach. We're training the parent, because kids are going to have all these different personalities and styles of communication and way of behaving. It does not matter, even if they're, you know, the same parents. I see that difference in my family, like same parents, but totally different ways of acting and reacting in different situations. So now you have these beautiful kids all over the world, and you have this organization that helps parents. And what project are you working on currently for your organization?
Well, right now I'm working to start with an organization that works with kids in distress. So they're at-risk kids. And one of the programs that they have on their campus is an after-school program. So these are kids that are also, they're, you know, because I'm also trauma trained. So with the ACEs and things like that for trauma and all the different types of trauma as well, because there's lots of different types of trauma and how you deal with the different types. And so they have multiple traumas already. So then when they're going to, you know, care after care with other care, because their parents are at work, or they've been separated. In some of the cases in this particular organization, they've been separated from their parents, and so they're in foster care, right? So I'm working with them to understand about how the trauma affects your approach to them, which actions can exacerbate their traumas and shut them down either even more. Well, they're going to do two things. It's going to be on a spectrum, but they're going to do two things. They're either going to become more defiant, or they're going to shut down and they're going to hide and get small, or they're going to come out with their fists fighting. Like I said, in one way, it could be just yelling, screaming, you know, acting out, whatever. And so I'm working on that. And then I also have a group training where it's not a video, it's me. You actually have me there for a 12-week course that goes in all the components, not just the children's need, but also the adults that are guiding them, their needs. And I think that the biggest takeaway too, to kind of circle back to where you had said that, you know, kids are going to come up with all their antics and parents are going to have these tools. The one really cool thing is that when the parents change, without teaching the child to change, they change because of the modeling, because you're now showing up differently, they start to show up differently. Instead of having to teach them to show up differently, they just will. And how you can know that this is an actual truth is you can see, every one of us knows that certain children act a certain way with mom, a certain way with dad, or they act a different way when grandma's around, or they act a different way in front of their teacher, mm-hmm. right? Aunt Susie, whatever, right? They're either really happy and they're boisterous and they turn their little kid like, or they go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, right? So that's your proof that it's a matter of how you're engaging them, that they're going to engage you differently without even being taught how to do that.
Let's take a breath into that.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah, I just want to take a breath into that, because that nugget of wisdom is important in every relationship that we enter into when we change ourselves. And what you talked about is not parenting, but the people, the adults that guide the children, finding the joy in guiding children.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So that it's not this, but it's
right.
This.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like a dance. It's like a dance. The point of dancing is not to end up at a certain spot on the floor. It's to enjoy all the steps that took you to the end.
I want to thank you so much, Leslie Nicole, for joining us. And we are here to support you in the work that you do. And I will be putting the links to websites and everywhere that we can contact you. Give us the name of the group one more time so that we know exactly where to find you.
Absolutely. It's justonecan.org. And just a little thing, it's just one, basically a blank, because it's just one smile. Just one hug, just one class, just one phone call. We all know the power of just one of those things and how it can truly make a difference. So that's how Just One Can was born. So thank you so much, Odiva, for the opportunity to share your light with me and allow me to share my light with you and what we're doing here, and the opportunity to really bring awareness so that we can create a lot of wonderful, dynamic, beautiful change to bring more joy into the world.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Leslie.